KSDP 830 AM, Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201 DA 88.1 FM, King Cove.
Gather round. It's story time on World Cafe. And today we're going to hear tales of intrigue and adventure from Patterson Hood. The Drive-By Truckers co-founder has a new solo album that walks you down his memory lane. Exploding trees and airplane screams look back on Hood's childhood and adolescence. There are chance accidents, heartache, and debaucherous social gatherings like the one in the song you just heard, the Van Pelt Parties. He joins us to unpack some of those stories from the new album, including the moment it all started.
February 1973 is when I started writing songs, and that's when my grades went from being an A-B student to a C-D-F student.
And why the Disney version of Pinocchio stuck with him. Hood's a film buff.
As far as the arts go, that may be my number one passion, and maybe even over music.
Plus live performances with his band, The Sensorounders. It's Patterson Hood coming up on World Cafe. Good to have our old friend Patterson Hood back on the show. We were trying to keep track of how many times he's been on solo and with his band, Drive-By Truckers. It's been a lot. I think we'll send him a t-shirt. It's coming up in just a few minutes, our session with Patterson, but first, here's Edie Brickell.
I'm not aware of too many things. I know what I know if you know what I mean. I'm not aware of too many things. I know what I know if you know what I mean.
Show me.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Yo, I'm Kaleo. Folks, Patterson Hood has childhood stories. And I don't mean the kind of stories that you politely nod your head to until the other person is done talking. No, these stories are filled with unusual events, from uncouth family parties to exploding trees and blazing plantations. Hood, who started writing songs in 1973, had found himself revisiting his distant past. So we decided to explore what he says was a very weird childhood. Today, the Drive-By Truckers co-founder and good friend of the show, Patterson Hood, joins me to unpack the new album, Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams. We've also got a few live performances to get to, but first, something from the album proper. Featuring the band Wednesday, it's the Van Pelt Parties. Patterson Hood on World Cafe. Patterson Hood with a performance of the Van Pelt Parties. It's from his new solo album and first in over a decade, Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams, a collection of songs that look back on Patterson's youth and adolescence. The Drive-By Truckers co-founder joins me for an interview today on World Cafe. I am Kaleo. Patterson, a pleasure to meet. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, this isn't the first time that you have touched on the past when you are writing an album. In 2009, you released Murdering Oscar and Other Love Songs, which involved discovering older material that had been hidden away. For this record, you went deep into your childhood to dig into some memories. And I know it wasn't your plan to look that far back, but why do you think you ended up there?
I don't know. As a musician and artist one of the things I love most is the happy accident. And always, you know, our band kind of prides ourselves on the drive-by truckers on allowing room for those crazy unplanned things to happen that are end up being my favorite things. And this album was very much like that. It was, it didn't occur to me until I was sequencing the record. We were in the process of mixing the nearly finished record, and I was sequencing it, and that's when it first dawned on me that this record told a story. Once that occurred to me, I was like really kind of taken aback and really very happy about it. And it's so weird because it does tell a story, and it mostly tells it backwards. It starts at the end and works its way back to the beginning. And that's interesting to me, too.
I mean, I love it. And I love the idea, you know, the old adage, don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story, right?
Right.
And so by going back, you know, I'm 45. And so trying to remember stuff that happened 30 years ago or 35 years ago, the story is true in my head, but it probably isn't the way it actually happened. And I think as a songwriter, it kind of gives you fertile ground to work with because you can't trust yourself as a reliable narrator. So you can kind of lean into the sort of not showmanship, but the you can embellish as you so choose because the memory isn't, you know, crystal clear.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and at the same time, my childhood was so bizarre, you know, and weird, you know, from, you know, the more I know about other people's childhoods, I mean, everybody's has their own weird eccentricness and their how they were brought up. But the more I learn about the way other people are brought up, the more weird I realize that mine was. And so it's been very, you know, that's been interesting unpacking all of that. And also doing it as a parent, you know, because I've got kids basically the age that, you know, or have already been through the ages that I'm writing about me going through, you know, on this record.
If you're just joining us on World Cafe, Patterson Hood is my guest. The new album is Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams. It is available now. There's a lot more to dive into with the record, but first I want to listen to another track and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Take a listen to this. A Werewolf and a Girl, featuring the Scent Surrounders on World Cafe.
Good evening! Trailways and you kissed me on the mouth. Saw a movie set in London about a werewolf and a girl. Tattoo you was on my stereo.
You can do it if you feel like I won't call out or complain. I'll just try to hold it just right, even if there is some pain.
Stop me. I was sad before I was born. And with that you started laughing. Said it's really just in time. And you need to put it in me before I go and change my mind.
You can do it if you feel like I'm out of that open plane. I just try to hold it just right. Blame my sadness on the rain. You can do it.
Live, it's Patterson Hood here on World Cafe. The song is A Werewolf and a Girl. On the album features Lydia Lovelace and in person the Sensorounders playing live with Patterson on that live performance here on World Cafe. I am Kaleo. Patterson Hood is my guest. Sounds like a college-aged romance gone awry.
High school sweetheart, yeah.
Why did you want to write a song about that? Or what was, when you started writing it, what drew you to that experience as a place to write a song?
I don't know. It had been right at 40 years. It was probably right around that time. And, you know, I don't know. It just kind of occurred to me, you know, maybe I just, I know probably around that time I watched American Werewolf in London with my kids, you know, and that was a, you know, that was a profound movie to me when I was 16 or 17 years old and dating my first, you know, my first real girlfriend and everything. And we dated for like a year and then, you know, broke up horribly and didn't speak for about 10 years. And
then became
friends, you know, and we're friends. But she's, you know, wonderful person. And there was a lot that came out of that year that you know, had benefited the rest of my life for sure. And everything. But I always loved that movie Blue Valentine and with Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling and where it tells the story of the love affair, but it basically breaks it down to the moment it really became a love affair and the breakup. And it's just those two things juxtaposing back and forth. And I thought that was I don't know how consciously I was thinking about that when I was writing it, because I wrote the lyrics really fast, like probably, you know, 20, 30 minutes one night, I think on the bus when I was on tour. And I didn't have music for it. And I actually wrote the music for it in the studio the day I recorded it. And I went in to make demos of the songs I had for the record and with Chris Funk. And I remember saying that night, it's like Lydia Lovelace, I want Lydia Lovelace to sing this with me. I want her to sing. I wrote it from both points of view, and I wanted someone to sing the girlfriend's point of view. And so to me, it had to be Lydia Lovelace because we're buddies. And I knew if I sent her the song, and some of the lyrics are pretty, you know,
it's tough.
Yucky.
Yeah.
You know, and
totally.
I knew if she saw it and was like, you know, I'm not singing that, you know, gross, you know, that would be okay. We're good enough friends to where she would say, I'm not singing that, dude, you know, and it would be okay. And so I sent her the demo like that night. And then I didn't hear back from her for a couple of days. I was like, oh, no, she hated it, you know. And then instead of writing me back saying yes or no, she just sent it back to me with her on it. She happened to be in the studio that week. And so she just went and did it and sent it back to me. And that's what's on the record. So I ended up keeping the demo and putting that on the record. And because I was so taken with what she had done, it's like, I'm not touching that. I'm, you know, mix it and call it done. So,
how fortuitous. You know, I rarely quote reviews during interviews because generally speaking, they don't have any like really relevance. But Stephen Dissner of Pitchfork made a really excellent observation in the album review, saying that rather than looking at these songs as short stories, you should actually look at them more like they're short films because of how cinematic you are in nature. And I love that idea because the song, of course, shares some DNA with the story, the written word, and of course, with the moving picture. Do you see your work as more, say, cinematic inspired than literary inspired?
Probably so. I mean, I love reading and I love literature, but I really love movies. You know, that's probably, you know, as far as the arts go, that may be my number one passion, and maybe even over music. I mean, I don't know. You know, I've always said that if I didn't do this, I would be a filmmaker. Although I don't know if I would be a good filmmaker. I don't know if I'd be a good enough filmmaker. I think if I was a filmmaker, it would drive me crazy because I don't know if I could make the films as good as the films I would want to make. And so, but I definitely think, I often think of my songs more as like little movies instead of anything else.
There you go. Patterson Hood of Drive-By Truckers talking about his love of film. He has a new solo album out now called Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams. More live performances and conversation with Patterson Hood when we get back to World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. You're still here. Lovely. We're continuing our conversation with Patterson Hood of Drive-By Truckers. He has a new solo album, his first in over a decade, called Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams. And it takes you down memory lane, Patterson's memory lane, which is not like a lot of kids' adolescents. I wanted to talk to him about how he first started getting into songwriting.
I started writing songs when I was 8 years old. Okay. And so I started so young that I was too young to have any kind of preconceived notions about what was good or not. And so that didn't even exist. I just wrote. I didn't, you know, and by the time I was old enough to start thinking about things like that, I'd been writing long enough to where it's like, well, even if it's not good, it's probably better than most 12-year-olds are doing. And that gave me a sort of confidence or, you know, maybe even pseudo-cockiness to continue forward in it during a time when, you know, maybe every other aspect of my life might have been racked with self-doubt. You know, the songwriting thing was kind of just something I knew. I knew it's like, I got this. I can
do this. You
can
count on it.
You know, and it was my outlet for, you know, whatever angst I had in my life. It was where everything went. Everything went into the songs. And so I wrote a lot. I wrote every day. I'd sit in class and write songs instead of listening in class. You can look at my report cards and tell exactly February 1973 is when I started writing songs. And that's when my grades went from being an AB student to a CDF student. You know, it was like it was like all of a sudden nothing else existed except for writing songs, and that's what I would do, you know. And I can remember, you know, getting in trouble in class and making bad grades and then getting grounded at home, which meant I just had more time to write because I couldn't do anything else. I was grounded. So I wrote and wrote and wrote. And so, you know, the things that really held me back was more like learning to play. You know, it's like for years I couldn't play what I heard in my head, and that was kind of maddening. Fortunately, I was able to get surrounded by people who played better than me, who could better help me realize those things, you know. And that's why, you know, meeting Cooley was so fortuitous, because he was already a killer guitar player, and he seemed to be able to sink in to what I had in me in those songs in ways that I couldn't ask anybody to do. He just did it. And so therefore, we, you know, that was the basis of a partnership that, you know, lasted for years and years and years before we actually learned how to get along as people, you know, because we were, you know, we were kids, you know, and so we were butting heads all the time.
Yeah,
butting heads all the time. But somehow we stuck with it because there was that, you know. He made my songs better, you know. And then when he started writing songs, I was in awe of how good they were. And I was thankful that he somehow allowed me to be part of those. And so, you know, and that was the basis of our relationship before we had the friendship that eventually grew in, you know, it grew into.
We're talking with Patterson Hood here on World Cafe, new album, Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams, available now. Unlike most of the songs on the album, the next song we're going to hear, The Forks of Cyprus, is not autobiographical. You called it pure fiction. Where did you come up with this story?
Well, the story's just as Hitchcock would say, a MacGuffin, you know, but it's a real place. It's a place I would spend every weekend out at my great uncle's farm, and he was like a father, a second father to me, and he didn't have children of his own, and he drove trucks for a living all week, and then on the weekends he lived on the farm that he grew up on, and about 8 miles outside of Florence, Alabama, where I grew up. And so to get out there when I was little, we used to go down this very creepy county road before they built a highway that kind of took you out there. And we would pass the ruins of this old plantation house that had belonged to a relative of Andrew Jackson. And I think like his cousin or something. So, you know, just someone horrible. And you'd pass that mansion, and then you'd go across this really creepy one-lane bridge that all the locals called Ghost Bridge. And later in high school, you know, you'd go parking out there on that bridge because there was never any traffic on it. And it was like they didn't tear it down until just a few years ago, but it was a very creepy, scary bridge. But when I was two, lightning struck the house, the mansion, and it burned down, leaving just the columns up on top of the hill. So it's like a ghost mansion. And I always, again, movies, you know, I always thought it'd be an incredible place to film a scene from a movie or something like that. So all of that basically came, you know, the song was just an excuse to explore the place.
Let's listen to The Forks of Cyprus. This is Patterson Hood and the Sensorounders, recorded live on World Cafe.
Watching us making love upon the cold earth. dark ground, buried in the red clay, freshly plowed. Threw my coat into the back seat and I drove into town. Past the forks of Cypress and the road that wraps around the bottom land and one lane bridge before the new highway. New light points along the ghosts that pave the way. No one had better ask me, and I would never tell. Something so forbidden, I'll carry it to hell. Then burn it down there with me, with the lips that speak profane. A love that burns as hot as my secret shame. Falls that lead to winters, into springs and summer's green. The one who shook me most fertilized the ground serene. Hazel eyes and blood beckoning to speak thy name.
Recorded live in Evanston, Illinois at Space alongside the Sensor Rounders, it's Patterson Hood here on World Cafe, The Forks of Cypress. The new album is available now. It's called Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams. All right, one more live performance to get to. And I think it's a movie that has messed with a lot of people's heads, but no one ever really talks about it because it's a children's film, Pinocchio. You described this as an all-consuming obsession, and I was obsessed with Disney kid movies as a kid too. I think Dumbo was my white whale.
Dumbo.
But I am curious about you and the Disney version of Pinocchio. How was it all consuming to you? Why was it all consuming?
It was re-released to the theaters. It came out in 1940 and it was re-released in the summer of 71, which I was seven. And I remember seeing the previews, like, I want to go see this. Over and over and over, and talking my grandmother and my great uncle into basically taking me to see it over and enough to where I basically memorized it. And I was a total Pinocchio kid. And as I got older, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, of course, it didn't occur to me as a kid how dark it is until I had kids, and I was so excited to show my kids this movie that I loved so much when I was a little kid, like they are. And so I'd show them Pinocchio and they were horrified. There was like, you know, they couldn't stand it. It was horrifying to them, and probably a little horrifying to them that their dad liked it so much, even. And,
yeah, selling him a bad bill of goods there. Oh, this would be great.
You know, and it didn't even dawn on me. It's like, okay, you know, and then I started thinking about it, trying to see it through their eyes. It's like, okay, you know, the kids turn into donkeys, and then they're, you know, the daddy figure gets eaten by a whale, and the kids got all this guilt from it. And it's like, you know, God, it's a really screwed up thing. And why was I so obsessed with that? And I guess the song that I wrote came out of that, the questioning of that. And again, it wasn't until the record was finished and I was doing interviews about the record when it came out that all these things about that song occurred to me that I hadn't consciously thought of writing it, you know. And, you know, I spent so much time as a child with my great uncle who didn't have children of his own, and he wanted a kid. He wanted a little boy, and I became his little boy, you know. I became his real live boy, you know. And there's all these aspects of my childhood in that song that I wasn't consciously thinking about when I wrote it, you know. I mean, the animated, the blue fairy in the movie looks uncannily like my grandmother, who was my mother figure and who raised me very much as a kid. I spent, you know, my parents were teenagers when I was born, and my dad was a musician and he was gone a lot, and my mother had a lot of health issues, and so I spent a lot of my childhood with my grandmother and my great uncle. And that song came from all of that in ways that I didn't consciously realize when I was writing it. And, you know, again, that's why I love songwriting and making records and all of this thing that I get to do so much, because of the happy accidents and the things that happen in it that I don't really consciously realize until after the fact.
Let's listen to a live recording of Pinocchio. It's Patterson Hood and the Sensorounders here on World Cafe.
Life's a hard lesson that keeps piling on. Trying to learn which star to wish upon. Wish upon a star like Geppetto did. Turn this block of wood into a well-formed kid. Trying to figure out like a sad detective. Pushing out thoughts like my brain's defective. Pushing out words from my ill-formed mouth. Trying to see the light when the sun hides out. Trying to see the light like a Rundgren song. Standing in the darkness trying to sing along. Raise your voice to heaven so our friends will hear. Sing a little softer just to pull them near. Life's a hard lesson, but it's always teaching. Arms ain't long enough, but they're always reaching. Reaching for a line that can save my soul. Spending my favors just to pay my toll, pay my toll. Getting kinda old, searching for the truth, like Pinocchio. It's a well of a tale with so many miles to go, but I get a little closer each day to my long-term goal. Get a grip on my constant bitching.
Heaven is a house with a modern kitchen. Heaven is the pace of a slow news day. Closer look at someone with a lot to say. Closer look at someone in the morning's light. Yellow sunglasses keep my mood just right. The devil's in the details, but will see us through. My blue fairy makes my wish come true. I've learned heaven ain't Pleasure Island. More to keeping love than to keeping on smiling. Truth can hurt a lot, but a lie destroys. Inside of every man is a real life boy.
Recorded live from Evanston, Illinois. Great venue called Space. It's Patterson Hood and the Sense Surrounders. It's Pinocchio. It's the song that closes his new solo album, which is available now. It's called Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams. Patterson, thanks so much to you and the Sense Surrounders for that great live set. Congratulations on the album. Please come back and see us again soon. I guess we owe you a t-shirt that says how many times you've been on the show now, okay?
Yes, t-shirt or a green jacket. Thank you so much.
You got it. That's Patterson Hood. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Huge thanks to Patterson Hood. New album is called Exploding Trees and Airplane Screams. It's out now. Hat tip to our producer Miguel Perez for his work on the session. And we take you back into music with one of the bands who supports Patterson Hood on that album. Here's Wednesday, Elderberry Wine.
Sweet song is a lie. Voice in a long time, had to check back there to make sure you were alive. Angel home of an electric car reverses toward me. Sometimes in my head I give up and flip the board completely. It's so long, just fine, 'cause the champagne tastes like elderberry wine. And the pink boiled eggs stay afloat in the brine, 'cause even the best champagne still tastes like elderberry wine. You cry a I
sky. You never know what will be coming down. I don't remember losing track of you. You were always dancing in and out of view. I must have thought you'd always. Always keeping things real by playing the clown. Now you're nowhere to be found. And I can't help feeling stupid standing around. Crying is the easier down. Cause I know that you'd rather we were dancing. Dancing our sorrow away.
strange. Sometimes I feel I almost do. And then I'm back behind the glass again. Oh God, what keeps you out? It keeps me in. Well, I've been thinking about, and I've been breaking it down with an answer.
Monsters of Folk, Dear God, Sincerely, M-O-F, their one album that came out in the late aughts. Jackson Browne for A Dancer from the album Late for the Sky, and Elderberry Wine from Wednesday. Putting the wraps on this edition.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigin Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Shumigin family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Shumigin Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.shumigin.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigin Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Ba-doodle-dee-ba-doodle-dee-ba-doodle-dee-ho.